Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to the best of the action on Tuesday. Good card at Ferry House as well on Tuesday afternoon. Seven races, good mix of maidens, handicaps, definitely winners to be found, I think it's fair to say. How are you, Mr. Holding?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah, you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. As I said, there's probably no star performers, if you like, on this card in terms of potential group races, but there are some horses that are good at their level, shall we say, or yet to find their level. And it's a decent, I would say, just on a reasonably quick glance, it's a decent enough punting card today.
That seems to be the way I'm thinking anyway. I can see three really good bets. One in particular I'm going to have my maximum bet on.
Okay.
And that comes in the last race.
Okay, a nice teaser there.
Well, I kind of teed the listeners up with it yesterday.
Oh, right.
I tipped a horse who finished third in a very good race at Listowel called A Greater Force.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting that if he won, then we can follow that form won by Asbury Boss pretty much off a cliff, because the speed figure I got for that race was very, very good, and I think it was a well above average race of its kind, and we've got not only the second running out of it, which is going to be my nap, we've also got the horse that set the pace and finished seventh in a claimer.
Ooh.
He's available to back at 6-1.
Nice. Right, okay.
So we've got a couple of really meaty, juicy bets later on in the card.
Good. Right, we'll look forward to them. But we'll start with the 215, where we've got a pretty short price favourite. It's a maiden of 6 furlongs. General Marshall is 3-1 on for Aidan O'Brien and Shamie Heffernan. Perhaps a tad frustrating, Andy, but that's being hypercritical, perhaps. He's basically the best horse in this race. He is 1-3, but can you see past him?
No, I think he'll win easily. I don't think Joseph O'Brien will make any mistakes this time. I just think he's been a bit unlucky. Sometimes you see form figures by a horse like this and you think, oh, God, I can't trust him as far as I could throw him. But it's just not the case with this animal. I think he's as honest as the day's long. He's just bumped into one all the time. And, you know, the horse that beat him in Dundalk, Toscanini, you know, we know what he's capable of. You know, he's been running in group company all season long. He then went to the Curra and I thought he got a pretty modest ride by Joey O'Brien. But that said, he got beat by a lovely horse of John Murphy's called Shepherd's Purse, who was a bit unlucky next time out in a group two. So again, I think, albeit he was, there were excuses that day. You know, it was a decent standard of race, and the filly that beat him last time out at Dundalk went on to run a blinder in a group race over the weekend for the Jessica Harrington Stable, a horse called Lola Beau. So, you know, he's earned his stripes. He's earned the rating of 92. He's a genuine 92 horse. I don't think sometimes you get horses who get a rating and think, God, there's no way near that level. But, you know, a horse of his level, rating, ability should win a race like this. He's got a nasty enough draw. It's not a total tragedy to trap 10. It could be potentially better. But the thing is with these two-year races, you know, that the cream comes to the top in the early stage of the race. And I think Shamie Heffernan, who takes over today, I just don't think he'll make any mistakes. I just think Aidan will say, look, get him out, get him in front, like you did at Dundalk, and don't look back, because he should be able to run this lot into the ground.
Okay, so happy to stick with General Marshall there. Do you have interest? Do you know where Joseph O'Brien is?
I have no idea. I think he might be serving a suspension.
Yeah, potentially, because he's not got any ride, and Shamie's riding all of the
that's right,
O'Brien horses. Okay, next up is the 2:45. It is a nursery over 6 furlongs. One of the more open races on the card, this one, Andy. We're 5-1 the field at the time of recording. Lady Mandeville heads affairs. But it is pretty open, this one, isn't it?
It is, yeah, really nasty events. It's very similar to the race I previewed the other night at Dundalk on the all-weather, where it went 5-6-1 the field, and I managed to tip the fourth horse, having gone for it each way, and might well be the same again today, because I quite like the top weight here, Callie Moore from the Joanna Morgan stable, filly by Lip de Vega. She's just had the 3 runs, so the handicapper hasn't had that much time to assess this horse, and he's kind of like... chucked a few numbers up in the air, really, and come down with 74, which could be good, could be bad, I don't really know. But she ran in a decent maiden at the Curragh back in May on ground, which looked as though it didn't really suit her because she's quite a big, tall, gangly thing, and she couldn't get her legs out of her own way that day. But, I mean, that race is one of the hottest races early on in the season, won by Jeannie Girl, Sexy Legs was second. But in that race was Anthem Alexander, who, of course, went on to win the Queen Mary subsequently, and this filly was only just behind her. She's then had the best part of 4 months off the track, so she was probably in need of the run when she was a 66-1 outsider at the Curragh. And again, she out with good promise behind Shepherd's Purse, who, as I said before in a previous preview, was unlucky in a Group 2 next time out. And, of course, General Marshall, who was third in that race, he runs in the first and has got a rating of 92. So there's a good chance that Kaylee Moore, certainly dropping now into this kind of company against horses who are much of a lower rating and haven't shown a great deal of ability, that her class might just... telling a race like this, the only negative I could see was the draw. I think if she was drawn between 1 and 7, I really fancy her strongly here. But that draw 14 of 16, you know, you've got to be decent to overcome that trap position at Fairy House, because it's a very sharp turn into the first bend. And, you know, the further you are out wide, the more ground you're covering. So Ronan Wynne will probably have to just slot her in somewhere in the pack. But hopefully Kaylee Moore will certainly run well, and odds around about 7 or 8-1 this morning look fair enough.
Okay, next up is the 3:20. It's an apprentice handicap over 6 furlongs. Another open race. T-Line, pretty popular at the head of affairs, 4-1 at the time of recording. 13-2 barring that one. Precious little winning form to go off in this one, Andy, but there are some pretty consistent performers at least.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Just a couple to mention here. Definitely T-Line has to be on anyone's shortlist. Horse that's hit the frame on all of its starts, if you include that fourth, of course, down in Bath, although that's technically speaking not one of them. But other than that, very consistent. She ran really well at the Stole Festival when given a forceful ride by Shami Heffin, and she looked like winning until getting nutted late on by Kim Bay, who's been in fantastic form of late. Back in third was the ever consistent and horse that you'd rate the race around, Hatton's Cross. And she should confirm form with Tom O'Mara's Charles Hatton's Cross, because Hatton's Cross has got the coffin box draw in stall 18, whereas T-Line's drawn nicely in trap 3, particularly as a forcefully ridden horse. That's exactly what you want. So T-Line is going to be the selection. As I said, a couple perhaps to mention at bigger prices. One of them is definitely Lily's Prince, who's got another favourable draw. And Govan Donnelly's Charge is one of the only horses who's won over course and distance. That was her last win. That was 6 starts ago in May. Since then she's been a bit in the wilderness, but hopefully return to this track might see her run well. So do keep an eye on her. And one that you've always got to consider from an each way perspective is City of Culture. Although William McCreary's mare is yet to win a race, she often runs well, and she did run well here on her only previous visit. So she's one to perhaps look at from a place only perspective. But T-Line gets the vote in that what looks a really difficult race.
Okay, T-Line the pick then in the 3:20. Next up is the 3:55, race number 4 on the Fairy House card on Tuesday afternoon, and it's a maiden over 7 furlongs. Short price favourite in here in Katamavik for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. On all known form, should be winning this pretty easily. The fly in the ointment, if you like, could be Tommy Stack's horse, Sirikoi. She makes her debut and is 5-2 at the time of recording.
Yeah, that's the only one really can offer up as a plausible dangers is Katamavik. My recommendation would be to put Dermot Weld's 3-year-old in a double with General Marshall, because I'm pretty sure that General Marshall will win the first and at least set up this nice little double, which you know, should pay around the even money mark if you can get sort of 2-5, 4-7. You know, that run at Listowel was a fairly eye-catching one. Certainly wasn't unduly punished on its only start. ran behind a couple of horses who already got previous form. The winner, no wonder, had lots of chances, but it was a fairly solid 82-rated horse going into that and got the job done, basically, because it knew what was happening and Katamovic didn't. But, yeah, in keeping with a lot of Dermot Wells' first time out, that run, such a creditable race on debut, likely to improve immeasurably. And even though it's dropping down a furlong here, I certainly think he's capable of winning a race like this. So, Katamovic, along with you, Alex, because you've napped this horse, I think I'll win this 355 quite comfortably.
Okay, I have napped it. I must confess, I thought it was a slightly bigger price, but still, it doesn't seem too bad. I know it is short, but very, very difficult to see past it, unless Sirikoi is something pretty special. Next up, the 430. It's a claimer, this, over a mile and two furlongs. At the time of recording, 9-4 favourite is Chocolate Diamond. Krakora is 100-30. 7-2 for Zanka. Fives or bigger the rest. This one, it's a shame we don't have the eight runners, Andy, because this would be a nice race to have a little each way, an each way punt on. But where should we start with this one?
Yeah, my thoughts entirely as well. Yeah, I wish there was the eight runners, because we could get stuck into the one I fancy here, particularly as he's been priced up at 6-1. And the horse in question is Irish Arrow from the Tommy Stack stable, one of my strongest bets on the card here today. Definitely my next best. 6-1 with William Hill. I definitely think that'll come under serious, serious threat. I think this horse is the best horse in this race by half an hour. He ran a brilliant race at Listowel in, I think, what's going to turn out to be a really valuable piece of maiden form. It was won by a horse of Mickey Halfords called Asbury Boss, who I think is a really nice horse in the making. And one or two of the jump boys will definitely think be interested in that individual sooner rather than later. He's got lots of size and scalp, the winner. The second runs in the last race break my mind. We'll deal with her later on. But Irish Arrow was the one who forced the pace. He was drawn out on the wing at the start of the race, and he trapped over to make the running, or at least dispute the lead until turning into the home straight. But obviously the sort of like the pace that they set in that race told on the front runners in the latter stages, and in the end he faded into seventh. But it certainly wasn't a disgrace. He only got beat 9.5 lengths. And it's interesting that the tongue tie's gone in today for the first time, and that was only his second run in his career. The first time he was obviously unsighted down at the Curragh when he was slowly away and never got into the race. So he learnt quite a lot from that first run. I expect him to step up again on that Listowel run, and the competition today is absolutely desperate. How on earth can Zanka be ahead of him in the betting? I mean, this is the imponderable for me. You know, Zanka was well beaten in 15 lengths. Irish Arrow ran a blinder. You know, he was 6.5 lengths, and a good 6.5 lengths ahead of Andrew Heffernan's filly, and I think he'll confirm the form. Just absolute mind-boggling how that horse can be 7-2 and Irish Arrow 6-1. I'd have him the other way around. Chocolate Diamond's had four goes, and he looks really modest. He got thrashed the other day at Tipperary. He got beat 13 lengths. He showed absolutely nothing. And he's up to him, you know, he's up in trip, which I'm not sure is going to suit. So that alongside Kokora, who, you know, he's probably the benchmark of the race, but, you know, has only rated 63, he's been running in handicaps. I think this Irish Arrow, because he's an absolute mile better than this lot, and I'll be really disappointed if he doesn't win, despite him being 6-1 this morning. So Irish Arrow, a very confident vote in the 430.
Okay, very confident there for Irish Arrow. Next up, the 505. This is a handicap over a mile and a half. Whitey O'Gwan is your 2-1 market leader at the time of recording. Bit more winning form coming into this one. Some reasonably informed types. We'll start with the favourite, Andy. Must confess, I wasn't crazy about this horse prior to him winning last time, but remains unexposed and is certainly in the right hands.
Yeah, well, he improved quite markedly, didn't he? Stepping up in trip, he's always looked a stayer in the making. When he raced as a 2-year-old, he was running over a mile, and he was basically teed up for the Galway Festival. Obviously, Dermot Weld had earmarked that maiden for him. So he ran him over 7 furlongs first time out a few weeks earlier, just to blow away the cobwebs. He's gone from, and he jumped up 5 furlongs to a mile and a half at Galway, and he absolutely bolted up. Finney Maguire did the riding, and it was a plot that was obviously well hatched by the Master of Rosewell, won by 14 lengths. But unfortunately, because he won so far, he's got a rating of 92, which looks really severe, because, I mean, let's face it, he didn't beat a lot at Galway, and he only basically had to jog round and beat what was put in front of him. But this is a lot tougher, and I just won't back him at the price. I'm not saying he can't win, but 2-1, I don't think he's that well handicapped, and I don't think he's got that much in hands for him to be a 2-1 chance, because this race is chock full of in-form, fast speed figure horses who've been running in the very strongly run races this season. Cool Fighter, Prima Gentia, Zarib, 18 Summers, Ned's Indian, Azurite. These have all been, you know, pitched in against the real strong stays of the season. Ned's Indian, of course, ran into Panama Hat at Dundalk. Prima Gentia ran against Kalan, of course, and then went on to be second in the Doncaster Cup behind Estimate. Cool Fighters up against that Aidan O'Brien horse, Quartz, and Zarib ran in a very strongly run race down in Garran last time out. So, while I do think YTO Gorn's a nice horse, I wouldn't touch him. And I'm going to go with Prima Gentia here. And I do think 18 Summers is worth a little bit of a saver. We'll deal with Prima Gentia, a really consistent horse this season. He was third in that aforementioned race at the Curragh. He's dropping back to a trip which is more in keeping with his profile. And, of course, he's the only course and distance winner in the field as well. He won early on in the season over this C&D back in July. The other one to mention is 18 Summers, who disappointed last time out in Leopardstown, but prior to that, he'd been in fantastic form, lowering the colours of Chance to Dance, one of my sort of podcast memories of the summer. So really, really strong vote for that as well. So two against the field, Prima Gentia and 18 Summers.
Okay, the final race on the Ferry House card comes up at 5:35. It's a filly's maiden over a mile and a half. I know there's one that you're quite keen on here, Andy. Why don't you tell the listeners what it is?
Yes. I want to put my reputation on the line here and say this is probably one of the best bets of the season so far at the prices, and that's Break My Mind. Horse who's been chalked up around about the 3-1 mark this morning. I predict this horse will be vying for favouritism close to the off, and if it isn't, it should be, because I do think that race at Listowel was a very high-class race for that particular week. And I like the winner, Asprey, but I think he's a really nice horse, at Mickey Halford's Charge. The third horse bolted up yesterday, Greater Force, despite not handling the track. I predicted that Joseph O'Brien and a Greater Force would be pushed along and off the bridle from a long way out, because he's just that kind of horse. He's a bit of a lazy devil, that horse. But in the end, he ran out a wide margin winner, and Break My Mind basically should have won that maiden at Listowel. She was absolutely cantering, turning into the home straight. But unfortunately, she got the door well and truly slammed right in her face, just at the most crucial moment, right on the apex of the bend. And instead of like coming out of the bend probably in front or second, she ended up coming out of it in seventh. She got shuffled right the way back, probably lost about five or six lengths, had to regain her equilibrium, start a run all over again. And in the end, she only ended up getting beat 3/4 of a length. Went down as probably one of the most unluckiest losers in a race of that nature. And like I say, the speed through the race was absolutely off the chart. It was by far and away the fastest furlong per furlong time on that particular card. And this maiden really does lack any great strength in depth. Obviously, Ancy Vidalis is a refugee out of a Group 3 race last time out at Garran Park. Don't know really why Aidan O'Brien pitched it into a race like that. I think we've got to judge that horse on that run at Listowel the time before, when third behind Duchess Andorra. But to be fair, Duchess Andorra would be a horse who's got many convictions and has got, you know, a bit of a, was a long-standing maiden going into that race. Plus the fact we don't know where this horse will stay. It's going from 7 furlongs to a mile, up to a mile and a half, all in one jump, where we know Break My Mind stays a mile and a half on top of his head. Obviously, you know, I've got to mention Akalina, but I tipped that horse last time out at Roscommon, hoping it would run well, and it didn't get beat too far, but I don't think it showed enough for me to get too excited. Fanzine got beaten in a really bad main down in Clonmel the other day. Lettre de Cachet is a horse that I've told podcasters to stay on the right side of, but at the moment I don't think she's the finish article, and I'm not sure she stays a mile and a half. Mazzetta's not good enough, so I think this is break my mind to lose. I'll be absolutely devastated if this doesn't win, and I suggest the podcasters take every opportunity they can this morning to take the biggest prices.
Okay, fair enough. Break My Mind, a very confident selection indeed then in the 5:35. Best of luck with that, Andy. Best of luck with what was your name? Irish Arrow, that's what it's called. There we go. In the 4:30. Yeah, best of luck with all those, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.